Rachel Mamane made the now familiar tech to small batch food artisan leap a few years back. She went to work at the green markets, but it was not peaches, nor tomatoes, nor cheese she was inspired to work with. It was bones. She wanted to make high-quality bouillon, the kind we rarely see commercially. Well, she headed out in her Jetta with an empty trunk and began trawling upstate New York for bones. She made friends with sustainable farmers and began taking away trunkfuls of frozen bones, beef, chicken, fish. She then drove back to Brooklyn to turn them into the now-thriving Brooklyn Bouillon. Melissa Clark talked to Rachel about her start.
Hello, Rachel. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So, Rachel, when did you first start collecting bones?
That's a great question. I moved to New York City from Seattle in 2010, and at that time, I didn't think I would go back into tech. Had a little bit of money in the bank and could do what I wanted for the summer. And so I got a job at Green Markets with Hudson Valley Duck Farm, selling duck and meeting the farmers in New York State. I noticed that there was a gap between the farmer and the slaughterhouse and the butcher and all the way to the end consumer in transporting bones. And at that point, as I started doing research, I realized the value of a good stock was lacking on the market for the home cook. So then I became a broker of bones.
So what was happening before you stepped in? What was happening to all those bones?
That is also a great question. I would say that it depends on the scale of the farm. Small farms really understand the value of the bones. They know all of their animals, and because of that, when they take their animals to harvest, they have the option to take the bones back. A lot of small farmers do, but it enters in challenges with transportation costs and the logistics associated with it. And sometimes storage is a challenge as well. However, on a larger scale, I see bones going to dog food. Some are going to hot composting. Neither are terrible routes, but bones to a chef are the gold of an animal, and it's what makes a beautiful foundation for our cooking. And so if we look at the supply chain of food, again, there's a place that I'm trying to establish where we can extract all of these beautiful nutrients and flavor from the bones and bring that back into the marketplace.
I've heard you talk about rescuing the bones. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yes, that is what I mean.
So for the consumer, there's stocks that you can buy in cans, or you can buy a little frozen bouillon, but you can't really buy a good, flavorful stock.
Yes. I was doing research on the origins of bouillon, and in the 1800s, there was a gentleman who had a meat extract company. And he had a very high-quality meat extract that was then usurped by what we know as bouillon today, which is the tiny salty cubes. But the true etymology of bouillon means to brew. It's a liquid. It's a concentrated liquid. And so the effort of our companies to bring the true meaning of bouillon back to the home cook.
And when you collect these bones, how do you do it exactly? Do you drive to the farms and ask farmers for the bones? Do you go directly to the slaughterhouses? What's your process?
This is a matter of scale. We are a small company. I have relationships with all of the farms that we work with. And I'm very excited to say that each batch is entirely traceable back to the farm. So we might get grass-fed beef bones from one farm or pastured beef bones from another farm. And the label is always going to make that distinction. We're also building partnerships with butchers across the state who also have relationships with farms.
So when you make stock, you make these huge batches. But are there any techniques that you have that are transferable to people cooking stock at home? Any tips for us?
Absolutely. So the first tip is to start your water slow. And you want to start with cold water, and you want to bring the temperature up very gradually. At that point, you will have your washed, blanched, or roasted bones in the water, and proteins will rise to the surface and all of the impurities. And as you bring it up slowly, it allows those proteins to lift in an uncooked state such that you can capture them at the top and remove the impurities. If the water is boiling too rapidly, then it cooks those proteins, sucks them back into the water, and emulsifies into the stock, creating a cloudy and less pure and sometimes a distasteful stock. So that's number one. Then you add your vegetables, which will float to the top, continue to cook until the vegetables are done. And at that point, you've got a pretty stock.
Rachel, thank you so much. It's so great talking to you today.
Thank you for having me.
Rachel Mamane is the creator of Brooklyn Bouillon. Melissa Clark is a food columnist for the New York Times and author of Eat This Now. Now, you can find our recipe for those days when a regular old can of chicken stock is all you have on hand. It's a recipe to give it a little oomph. Take a look at Cheater's Homemade Broth. You can find it at splendidtable.org.